So what we said in the previous shiur, just to summarize, is that most of the poskim, beginning with the Marshal, continuing with the Mishnah Brura, and many others, would say that if you have a choice between a Tzadik ben Rasha and a Tzadik ben Tzadik, then certainly the Tzadik ben Tzadik, as we saw in the Gemara in Yevamos, gets first dibs, gets preference. The Mishnah Brura says it outright. The Marshal indicates that unless there are other factors to take into consideration, if Shnei B'Shavim, if everything is equal, then we choose the Tzadik ben Tzadik. He's the Miyuchas and he gets Kedima. And we saw it straight up front in the Oy of Yisrael. He doesn't blink about it. He says that we don't want to disqualify the tefillah of a Tzadik ben Rasha, but certainly the Tzadik ben Tzadik has the superior dimension of tefillah, and therefore we would certainly appoint the Tzadik ben Tzadik according to that Shita. On the other side of the fence, we were worried about the Taz, because the Taz wants to be Makarev, this person who's a Tzadik ben Rachok, or ben Enam Yuchas, but we said that perhaps we could analyze the Taz in a different light and assume that an Enam Yuchas or a Rachok is not the same as a Rasha. That according to the Taz, what the Gemara in Yevamos is excluding is a Tzadik ben Rasha, but a Tzadik ben Enam Yuchas would be not only acceptable, but he would be preferable, because Tfilos Nishmas Yoser Mitzadik ben Tzadik. And then what we're left with is to come back to the Taz and try to understand who is this person who the Taz wants to give preference to, a Tzadik ben Enam Yuchas, a Tzadik ben Rachok. And then we had the Keren LeDavid, and we said he too can be reconciled with the Gemara in Yevamos. We're going to give first preference to the Tzadik ben Tzadik because he has the ability of and the knowledge of Seder HaTefillah. He learned from his father the secrets of Arichas HaTefillah, and therefore even though in and of itself the Tefillah of a Tzadik ben Rosh is more Chashuva and it would be more Mekubelis Yoser, but because the Tzadik ben Rasha is lacking the knowledge of Seder HaTefillah, therefore the Tzadik ben Tzadik will get preference. The only Shita that seems to be totally irreconcilable with the Shulchan Aruch and with the Gemara in Yevamos is the Alter Rebbe quoting the Esh Omrim, who seems to say that since the Tzadik ben Rasha has the additional dimension of having Shiflus, he's a shval ruach in his tefillah, therefore his tefillah is superior, is preferable to that of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. And I think the only way that we could possibly reconcile the Yesh Omrim in the Rav Shulchan Aruch with the Gemara in Yevamos is to assume that in the case of Yitzchak Avinu, his tzidkus was so great as being one of the others, and not only that, his father's tzidkus, The level of a tzaddik like that of Avram is so great, it's so profound, that it outweighs the shiflus haruach element. So in a balance between shiflus haruach on the one end, that would apply to Rivka, and the absolute tremendous overwhelming tzidkus in the case of Yitzhak of a tzaddik ben tzaddik, the son of Avram Avinu, that's when the Gemara says, based on the pasuk Vayetar Lo, that Hashem would respond first and foremost to the prayers of a tzaddik ben tzaddik, namely of Yitzchak, and not of Rivka. What I'd like to discuss with you today is the Taz. Let's go back to the Taz and try to figure out, if you remember, Taz is on the second source on your page, on page one. What is it that sets up this individual as an Eino Miyuchas, or to use his language, he's Mizera Rechokim. So the father of this tzaddik is not a Rasha. That's what we were medayik from the Lashon of Taz. But on the other hand, he has some sort of deficiency in his yichus. So I was thinking out loud, what could possibly be a deficiency in yichus that's not rishus? Rishus really has to do with religious stature, how observant you are, and it doesn't touch on yichus. Yichus has something to do with what we call a psul mishpacha, pagam mishpacha, has to do with psule yuchsin, that's already a whole different category. So I was thinking one example that came to mind is, let's say his father was a goy. So he's a Jew, and he has no yichus to his father. Al pidin, zero. He's not related to his father at all, according to the halacha. His father is not his father, period. That's how the halacha works. And in such a case, with zero yichus, we have to be makariv him. He's an eino miyuchas, but he's not a tzaddik ben Russia because he's not a tzaddik ben anybody. He doesn't have any father. So in the case of a tzaddik ben Russia, in the Taz's frame of reference, there's some sort of special psul tfila, insofar as we said before, just, you know, metaphorically, we have to invite his father into the ma'amad of standing in front of the Kisei HaKovod at the time of tfila. The father is somehow schlepped in the Amida Lifnei Hashchina, and that we can't do. So there's a separate psul, a negative dimension, in the case of a tzaddik ben Russia. Here, the father's a guy, he doesn't enter into this picture at all. It's like he was born of a mother without a father. That's how it is halakhically. So on the one hand, he has no yichus, but on the other hand, he has no negative yichus. So the Taz understands, within the framework of the Rush, that there's a way, there's one derech, we can employ one method to bring him into miyuchas. As is to say, to engender, to elevate him to a miyuchas, to be makariv him. And that is by appointing him a shliach tzibur, according to the Taz, that allows us to be makariv also lezera hashchina. Shchina here, I think, means the standing in front of the Shechina for tefillah. And Libaboy means, because he has no yichus, because his father is not Jewish, he gives it his all. He has to work overtime. He has to activate himself emotionally to profound frenzy in order to overcome the handicap of not having a father who's Jewish. So in that sense, Rachmana Libaboy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his sincere prayers, his very intense prayers, his tears. And not only that, this will be a method by which we makariv the zera that he has only in this case from his mother and not from his father. Another thought that occurred to my mind is, what happens if the father is a mamzer, or the father, in the case of kahuna, is a cholol? These are all kinds of psulim. Maybe there's another pgam in his yichus. Maybe he has a brother who went off the derech, who's not frum. All these would be pgamim, or perhaps a psuim, but they're not rishus. I mean, the fact that his brother is a rasha is not indicative of the fact that his father in any way is a rasha. So he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. But because he has these situations that put him in a sort of handicapped, inferior state, and we want to uplift him and upgrade him to a level of Shechina, of Amidah Lifnei Shechina, we should choose him and dafke him to be the Shliach Tzibur. We find a similar concept in Avelus, that an Avel Rachman al-Islan recites Kaddish for the entire Tzibur. Because he's in a low state as a result of his Avelus, we want to uplift him. We dafka point that finger at him and appoint him to be the shliach of the entire tzibur, so that he still, even in his state of avelus, could stand in front of the Shechina, representing the tzibur, as it were, in Kaddish. If we go back to the Mishnah Berurah for a moment, which is the third source on your page, and let's reread that. The Mishnah Berurah says, Tov lahadir achar shatz tzadik ben tzadik, ki eino dome tfilas tzadik ben tzadik l'tfilas tzadik ben rosh. But he's a tzaddik. Tov lekarvo lekarev zera rechokim. So he put a question mark, and the Mishnah Berurah wants to reconcile the Rush with the Gemara in Yevamos. He says that what the Rush means, Ratzalomer, means to say, Gamkein, Rak She'eno Miyuchas. This person that we're giving first dibs to as the Shliach Tzibur is an Eino Miyuchas. Avo Mikolokom Eino Aviv Rasha. And he quotes this in the name of the Achronim. So this, I think, this sheet in the Achronim, quoted here by the Mishnah Berurah, would reflect what we were going with, that the Taz is not, and the Rush are not talking about a Tzadik Ben Rasha, but rather a tzaddik ben rachok, ben zera rochok, or ben enam yuchas, for one of the reasons that we discussed. Interesting is the Torah Tmima. The Torah Tmima you'll see on page 2 of Yemar Makomos, it's number Tes. And on the second line in the Torah Tmima, after quoting the Taz and the Rosh, he says, V'tema, ach tema, where is it? No, wait a minute, maybe tema shalotiritz mu'uma. Just 1 second, I don't think that's the part that I wanted to focus on. It says, V'tema shalotiritz mu'uma keneged mashmos timas ha-gemara. The Taz, in disagreeing with the Marshal, after all, the Marshal says you choose the Tzadik Ben Tzadik as the shots, he's standing on the simple, straightforward pshat of the Gemara Nivonis. And the Taz disagrees with the Shach, excuse me, with the Marshal, based on the Rush, but he never bothers swinging around to reinterpret the Gemara Nivonis. That says, Ein Adoma Tfilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tfilas Tzadik Ben Rosha. El Shanira Li, and he has a new way of understanding, a new dimension in the in this whole equation, and he casts a whole new light on the Taz. Shehu bal midos tovos biyoser. This fellow, who according to the Torah Tmima, in his understanding of the Taz and the Rosh, is a tzaddik ben Rosha, has the advantage of being a bal midos tovos biyoser. And that somehow offsets and weighs heavier against the tzaddik, the advantage of the tzaddik ben tzaddik. So on the one side of the seesaw, you have a tzaddik ben tzaddik. That's an advantage. And that's the Gemara Nivomis. But in this case, that the Taz is addressing in the Rosh, the advantage of the tzaddik ben Rosha, because that's how the Torah Tmim is approaching the Taz and the Rosh, is that he has midos tovos biyoser. It sounds like the Torah Tmim is saying that there's some special mido here that has a tremendous impact on the power of tefillah. He, at this point in his presentation, he doesn't discuss, he doesn't present to us and reveal to us what is this special midah tova biyoser which gives him such a power in tefillah that it offsets the disadvantage that he has in the fact that he's a tzaddik ben Rosha and outweighs the advantage that the tzaddik ben tzaddik has. But I think there's a clue in the second half of this paragraph of the Torah Tmima as to what this midah tova biyoser is all about. The nira rayel azem mitainis chafeyim and beis. So let's take a look at number yud beis, which is the last piece on page 2 of Yomar Makomos. Maisa Rabbi Eliezer she yored lifnei ateva. Now it's very interesting that Rabbi Eliezer was at that time the Gadol Ador, and there was no rain, because Masechta Tainis deals with situations where there's a drought, there's no rain, and the situation was so desperate that they actually chose Rabbi Eliezer, nothing less than the great Rabbi Eliezer, to be the Shliach Tzibur. And he recited the whole, what we call Ma'amados of a Tainis Tzibur, the 24 Brachos, Velo Nena, and the rain didn't come down. So who is second string? Yared Rabbi Akiva, of Nebuch Rabbi Akiva was the second one. The Omar of Vina Malkini went through a whole tefillah,
which had no yichus.
Correct. The Yardu Gishamim, and the Geshem came down. So now, if we would stop right here, your point would be very well taken. And Rabbi Akiva, in terms of Ben, is certainly inferior to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was one of the sons of the Gedolei Ador. And yet Rabbi Akiva's tefillah was answered and not Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara asks, what goes on over here? And the Gemara tells us, Yotza Baskol V'yomer, there was a declaration from the Baskol in heaven, Lo mipnei shezeh godol mizeh, El shezeh mavir al midosav, v'zeh eino mav al midosav. Rabbi Eliezer was more strict, and if somebody heard him, then he expected that person to come by and ask mechila. And that's called Eino Mavir al Midosov. Rabbi Akiva was exceptional in a different midah. He was a Mavir al Midosov. If somebody insulted him, he didn't get all huffy puffy about it. He was immediately mochel them. That's called a mavel midosov. And I think if we take this Gemara and plug it back into the Torah Tmima, what he's saying is, in the context of the Taz and the Rosh before the Taz, is that even though Rabbi Akiva in this case is a Tzadik ben Rosha, nevertheless, he will get first dibs of being a Shliach Tzibur. His tefillah is responded to first. And why? Because he's got a Midah Tova V'Yosef. But as we said before, the Torah Tmima doesn't spell it out. What is this Midah Tova V'Yosef? For that, we have to look up the Gemara in Tainus to get a grasp on it. And the answer is, he's a Maver Al Midosov. And I was thinking to myself, you know, you could make a list of all sorts of Midas Tovos. Why is Maver Al Midosov that single Midah that projects you so far in terms of your ability to be mispal at Tefillah Mekubelis? I was thinking that the answer is as follows. When the Geshem is not coming down, Rachmona Litzlan, what it means is that we, the Jewish people, are not living up to par. There's some sort of failure, some sort of deficiency, we'll call it a chait, that the punishment of which is the fact that the rains are not coming down. In fact, that's the whole essence and the machayev of tefillah, of Tainus Tzibur, is that we should not be callous about things that happen, terrible things that befall the people. We should realize that it's a simon, it's a sign from Shemayim, and we have to do tshuva. So we have to find out what we have to rectify and how to improve ourselves. So basically what's happening is, in the case of Atziras Geshamim, the Midas Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reigning supreme, and therefore there's no rains. What we need now is to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Maver Al Midosov. We were sinners, and we insulted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But please, we beg of you to be Maver Al Midosov, and who are we going to send as a Shliach? Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the paradigm of someone who's Maver Al Midosov. In other words, there's a Mida Keneged Mida element here. Just like, and because Rabbi Akiva is Maver Al Midosov, he's willing to look aside. He doesn't get insulted. He's Mochel. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look aside and be Mochel on our misgivings and our shortcomings and bring down the rains. So now if we take the Taz and the Rosh upon whose shoulders the Taz stands, we could say the following. The Gemara in Yevamos is definitely correct. If all things are equal, then we should appoint the Tzadik ben Tzadik as the Shliach Tzibur. He is the one who has the power of tefillah. Unless the Tzadik ben Rosha has an advantage over the Tzadik ben Tzadik. And how so? He excels in a certain midah. What midah? And now when you put together the pieces of the puzzle with the Torah Tmima referring you back to the Gemara in Tainus Chafei, the answer is he has the midah of being Maver Al Midosov. In fact, I saw in the poskim with regard to Aseres Meitshuva that if a person wants to be Zocha Bedin on Yom Kippur, he should be very careful during those 10 days to be Maver Al Midosov. That's the school.
You also had the Erech Hapayim.
Erech Hapayim, because if we're...
Erech Hapayim, who marich et hapo, we should also be to him.
Right. If we act towards our fellow human being as a Maver Al Midosov, as an Erech Hapayim, not to hold grudges and to be soft and pliant and forgiving, then Hashem will be soft and forgiving for us. So that's the exception. What I do have to admit to you is that as attractive as the Torah Tmima's position is, I think it's his position. I don't think it's that of the Taz and the Rosh. It's a nice pshat, but he can call it his own. Don't try to convince me that that's what the Taz had in mind. Because when the Taz speaks about the special unique power of the Tzadik Ben Eino Miyucha, so the Tzadik Ben Zerah Rechokim, he doesn't mention a word about his midos, but rather he's speaking about Rachmana Libaboy. He's speaking about the heartfelt and profoundly emotional tefillah and bakasha and petition of this individual, dafka because he comes Mizerah Rechokim. And not only that, the goal of appointing him, the Tzadik Ben Zerah Rechokim, as our Shliach Tzibur, is Lekarev. Somehow it brings him closer to the Shechina. So that this Zerah Rechok now becomes a Zerah Karov. I mean, that whole discussion, that whole frame of reference, completely falls down the side, goes down the wayside, goes down the tubes, if we take the approach to the Torah Tmima. What the Torah Tmima is saying is not that we're trying to be makariv of the zera of Rabbi Akiva because he came from Tzadik Ben Rosha. Not that we're trying to accept the tefillah of Rabbi Akiva and prefer him over Rabbi Lezer because he has the deep feeling and a kind of a shiflus of ruach. No, none of that. It's all because of his midah. He's the paradigm of Mavra al-Midosov, and that has a special skula power in tefillah to bring about HaKadosh Baruch to be Mavra al-Midosov in the situation of a tainis tzibur, whenever the tzibur is in need and petition the Almighty. So I would say that the Torah Tmimus Pshat is a beautiful pshat in and of itself, but I don't think I'm convinced. I'm very skeptical, very hesitant to assume that this pshat has anything in common with the Taz and the Rosh. The Taz and the Rosh are talking about being Makarev, Zerah, Rechokim. They're not talking about a special midah. But again, we shouldn't disqualify his approach. It's an approach that's valid in and of itself. That there are situations, according to Tartmima, like we saw already in the Yesh Omrim in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, where the Tzadik Ben Rosh should be given the position, he should be the first choice as the Shliach Tzibur. According to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that's because he's more of a Shval Ruach. And now according to the Taz, it's because he has the Midah, he shines and outshines the other candidate in the Midah of Mavra Midosov. If he's the paradigm of Mavra Midosov, everyone sees him walking down the street, they say, oh, he's such a softy, he's never makpid on his own covid. I know people who insulted him and he just looks the other way. He's a superhuman. He's beyond Yoter Mimasha and Noshi Achol Asot. He's great. Then we should run after him. Make sure he's the Shliach Tzibur. He's the one who's going to save Knesset Yisrael in a time of need. He should be the representative of the community. That's a beautiful pshat. But there are other ways. There are other ways of learning the Gemara in Yevamos to say that the exception to the Gemara in Yevamos would be someone who's a real Shval Ruach. Or, for example, if we go back to the Keren David, there would be an interesting exception to the rule of the Gemara Yevamos in a case where the Tzadik Ben Rosha is an absolute expert in the Seder Avoda. Perhaps he learned it from other Gedolim. You know, it's, maybe he became a Baal Shuv on his own at a very young age, and he davens amongst the greatest tzaddikim of the generation. You know, he's living and davening in the old city of Yerushalayim. He sees tzaddikim all the time. He's an absolute baki in Seder HaTfilah. He knows exactly how to be Marech his Tfilah. Miloshen Marech with Aricha V'rayim. And so we should appoint him as the Shliach Tzibur, dafka because his Tfilah is Chashuva Yoser, because he's a Tzaddik Ben Rosh. So, Halach Lamaisif, we would come to the Shulch, you know, to a case today. You know, we were the judges or the poskim, and we had to decide which of two candidates, Reuven or Shimon, should be hired as the Shliach Tzibur for our community. So the truth of the matter is, I think we would have a very complex answer. It would not be simple and straightforward. You couldn't simplify this. It would be oversimplifying. You couldn't just say, well, let's choose Reuven over Shimon because Reuven has more yichus than Shimon has. No. There may be a lot of reasons why we would choose Shimon. For example, if Shimon was equal to Reuven in terms of Seder HaTefillah, and Shimon is a Tzadik Ben Rosha, I would give the job to Shimon. If, for example, Shimon is not the son of a Rosha, he's the son of someone who has a Chisard and his yichus, you know, he's got a Zerah Chokim, then following in the Taz's footsteps, I think I would give him the job, and not the Tzadik Ben Tzadik. And for that matter, if I was convinced that the Tzadik Ben Rosha has a tremendous advantage in terms of the nature of his tefillah, the depth of feeling, and the petition that he has because he's a Shval Ruach, then I would introduce the Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So as we've seen, there are many, many reasons why we might look aside and tell the Baal Yichus, you know, great, you know, I love your Yichus and I'm very impressed, but that doesn't mean that you're gonna get the job. So let's go back to the Taz one more time and ask the question, what happens if we have two candidates for the position of Shliach Tzibur? One is, let's say they're both Tzadik Ben Tzadik, but one is a Kohen and one is a Levi. So I don't think that would be relevant. I don't see that we have to give a Kohen above a Levi, or for that matter, a Kohen or a Levi above a Yisrael. I don't see that Yuchsin plays a role here, so far. I mean, there may be such halach, but I'm not aware of it. what the Yichus concept that is sent to stage here within the context of the Rosh and the Taz standing on his shoulders is a different one. What we're talking about is a Zera Rechoka. And what we want to do is somehow through the process of appointing the Zera Rechoka as the Shiach Tzibur, we're bringing the Zera Rechoka closer. We're in a sense projecting him higher and higher in the ladder, ascending the ladder of closeness to Shechina. And we're assuming that because he comes from a Zera Rechoka, his tefillah will be that much more powerful and profound than that of a regular classical tzaddik ben tzaddik. But I don't think that Kahuna, Levi, or any of the like should play any role. That's my opinion. But what I really want to discuss with you now is a very challenging paragraph in the Maskil of David. Let me give you a copy of the Maskil of David. It's this paragraph here. You may have to look on together. The Maskil of David, I want to just say a few words about him because I'm a big fan of his. And somewhere in my library I have the Maskil of David, you know, the real one. But I don't know where to find it right this second. His name is Rabbi David Pardo. He was an Italian Jew some 3.5 centuries ago. He's most famous for his work on the Tosefta called the Chasdei David. But he's written many, many svarim. He was a prolific writer. And Rabbi David Pardo is one of the greats from the Italian Jewry. And he has, amongst his many svarim, this sefer called the Maskil of David, which is a commentary on Rashi al Torah. There are many, many gedolim who wrote commentaries on Rashi al Torah. He was one of them. And it's called the Maskil of David. You have it right here in front of you. Take a look. He says the following.
Yes.
Kasha. He says, I don't understand. In the light of this Rashi, the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik is superior to that of a tzaddik ben Rasha. Adarabi says, Hatzadik ben Rasha, Mistavra, it's logical, the Adif Tfei, that he has a certain superior element and he supersedes in tefillah a tzadik ben tzadik. Why? Sha'afal pisha hoyelo mimi lilmahut, even though he had someone to learn from, to imitate, namely whom? His father, who was a Rasha. Lo lomad. This guy is a tzaddik. His father's a Rasha. His advantage, his schus, is a very powerful one. He has a schus gedola because he didn't learn from his father. And we should project him now as the Shliach Tzibur, saying, here's a person. It wasn't simple for him to become whom he is. You know, the examples in his life, or the prime example in his life, namely his father, was a very negative one. But he overcame that. And he didn't learn from his father. He rejected his father. He deserves such schliot. He's the guy that we want to send to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he'll bring the Rachmei Shamayim, the compassion of Almighty God. So that's the question of the Maskil of David. It's a very profound question, perhaps a very philosophical question. We should have, in a sense, asked it on our own. I'm kicking myself for not asking it. He says, but Rashi Gufe, and he strengthens his question. Rashi himself, Heviliel, earlier in the parasha of Rivka, he wrote Lahagid Shvacha, that the Torah wanted to praise Rivka. Shahaisa Bas Rasha. Why does the Torah emphasize that her father was Besuel, her brother is Lavan, that whole Shtar Yuchsin of Rivka? So Rashi says Lahagid Shvacha, that she didn't learn from the Maisim, not of her father, not of her brother. Venira Li, therefore, based on this question, the Maskil of David says, Li Olam, Le Inyan Chashivus, as far as Chashivus is concerned, Tfei Chashiv Tzadik Ben Rasha. I would give a superior position to that of a Tzadik Ben Rasha. Again, we come back to the word Chashivus. We'll compare this to our discussion about the Chashivus in the Keren Le David, who said that the chashivus of a tzaddik ben rasha is superior to that of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. And here we see it in Rabbi David Pardo, who's way before the Keren LeDavid. And according to the position of Rabbi David Pardo, the premise of his question is absolutely correct. If we define the chashivus aspect of tefillah based on the schus of someone, then certainly the tzaddik ben rasha, who didn't learn from his father's maisim, tvei chashuv. The gadol schuso. Do you see those two words? The gadol schuso. I would underline those words. His chus is that much greater because he didn't learn from his father. He didn't follow in the example of his father. Kidamaran, as we said in that question. Oh, so why then do we give preference, kedima, to the tzaddik ben tzaddik? Mikol makom, nevertheless, le'inyan tefila, ein adoma tzaddik ben rosh, le tzaddik ben tzaddik. Tzaddik ben tzaddik mahani tefeh. His tefila will be more effective. Even though the tzaddik ben rosh comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a great superior schus, schus o gdola, in that he didn't learn from his father, but as far as the ye'ilut of the tefila, it means the efficacy of the prayer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do what the prayerful person is begging, is requesting, the tzaddik ben tzaddik, mahani tefeh, has a more effective prayer. Mahani tefeh l'shetayasa, so that bakasha, so that his request will be implemented. Why? Why is it so that a tzaddik ben tzaddik is more effective? And in order to understand this, the Maskil of David sends us to a Gemara in Brachos Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, and if you go back to your Maamar Makomos page, you'll see this as number Yud on page 2. Shuv Maisa Rabbi Hanina Ben Dosa Shalach Lilmod Torah Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Now mind you, at the time of the Churban, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was the Gadol Ador. You remember Tainli Yavna V'Chachamel. Rabbi Hanina Ben Dosa was a student of his. But what happened, unfortunately, Chola Benosha of Yochanan ben Zakkai, the son of the great Gadol Ador of Yochanan ben Zakkai, fell ill. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan turns to his Talmud and he calls him Chanina b'ni. I beg you, Bakeshel of Rachman v'yichye, pray on behalf of my son. Imagine the Rebbe is asking the Talmud to pray on behalf of the Rebbe's Talmud. He niach rosho ben birkov, and Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa placed his head between his knees. That's a lashon of hachna and bakriya dima ubikeshal rachamim. The Gemara is going to say that he dedicated an entire day without moving, without flinching, to that strange position of head between the knees. And maybe it's a good exercise. I don't know, but he was doing it for tefillah v'chaya, and he saved the life of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan declared, El mole hitiach ben Zakkai es rosho, bein birkov kol yom kulo, lo yom hashgichin olof. If I would have done exactly what Rabbi Hanina Mendoza did, namely if I would have put my head between my feet for the entire day, no one would pay any attention upstairs. Amar lo ishto. So the Rebbetzin comes forward and asks the question, a very relevant question. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the mother of this child, V'chi Chanina gadol mimcha? Are you telling me that Rabbi Chanina is greater than you? He's only a Talmud at this point. Again, there are tremendous stories in the Gemara about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, but right now he's a Talmud compared to the Rebbe, sitting at the feet of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan, you're telling me your tefillah would be ineffective? Who saved our son? It was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amar lo lav, you misunderstood. I never meant to say, and the scenario, the situation doesn't beg the conclusion that Rav Chanina ben Dosa is greater than I am. Elo, hu dome le eved lifnei hamelech, v'ani dome kesar lifnei hamelech. So wait a minute, who's greater, a sar or an eved? An officer in the king's palace or a servant? Certainly, an officer is greater. And in truth, I, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, am greater than Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So in comparing me to him, I'm a sar, and he's an eved. But here we're talking about tefillah. And when it comes to tefillah, an eved is greater than a sar. An eved's tefillah is effective where a sar's is not. So Rashi tries to give us a clue as to why. What makes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a sar, which is an inferior position in terms of tefillah, whereas Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa has the superior position in tefillah of being an eved. Rashi says, "Ke'eved ben bayis, nichnas v'yotze shelo b'rishus." The king has his servants; they stand on him, they tend to his needs, they go in and out. They don't have to ring a bell. But you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you're a sar lifnei hamelech. Any rugil, ain't a rugil level of fun of. you know, on certain occasions, you know, I'm a very significant dignitary in the king's court, the king will ask me to appear, but he has to subpoena me. I'm not a regular in his inner chambers there. Not like the servants. The servants are there all the time. So in tefillah, the tefillah of whom is more effective? The Eved or the Sar?
I don't understand.
Okay. What we're suggesting is, Leviat, do you want to explain? See the Marsha. The Marsha perhaps will add another light. You see Nabi Aleph? The Marsha says, and he's the Balbas on Agadita, he says the following. He says on the second line, Hoya Rab Chanina Bedosa Rogil Tomid Bebeis Hashem Lispal Lefonov. Rab Chanina Bedosa had a very special status as an Eved in front of the Melech Malki Amlochim because he was always there davening in front of Hashem. He kept going in and out. Because of all the things that were befalling the Jewish people, he was the Eved serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning from close proximity. He was Rogil. Masha'en came Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what was he busy with? Where was he? Not in the Beis Hashem, was Palel. Ain't a Rogil the Beis HaMelech. He wasn't close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the King of Kings. But rather, he was busy teaching Torah. He was busy in being Oseik in the Tzarchei HaTzibur. It's therefore, says the Marsha, Gam k'shetzorich leiluch l'tnei ha-melech l'vakish dovar, even when this great Tsar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, needs to come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzorich la'avodov, he's got to knock on the doors of the avodim, ask them if they can open up for him. L'avio l'tnei ha-melech, give me permission to enter into the king's palace, to come close. L'vakish olov, in order to get the okay, the permission, to reach in, to enter into the king's chamber. He was transmitting the Torah to the next generation. He was the Avbezdin of that generation. He didn't have the time to dedicate to prayer. Who was therefore dedicated to prayer? Rav Chanina ben Dosa. He becomes like an Eved Lifnei HaMelech. And because he's the Eved Lifnei HaMelech, he's constantly there, he's rogil, he's tamid bebeis Hashem lehispalel, and therefore Rashi says, nichnas v'yotzei shelo bershus. He has the king's ear. I'll give you a mashal. Mashal amad dover domeh. The president of the United States, now it's Obama, let's say he has what's called from time to time a press conference. What happens with a press conference? A very few, you know, special limited number of people are allowed to participate and come into the press conference. I mean, besides getting security clearance, they have to have special cards, ID cards. And you have certain people who represent the press, they're members of the press. Let's say, for example, you call him the Tonai or Katav of, let's say, in America, the New York Times or the Washington Post. These are the major newspapers. And those representatives of the press who represent those newspapers, they constantly go in and out of these press conferences, and the president knows, he's very familiar with them, he recognizes them, they ask questions, they get answers, there are lively debates back and forth at these press conferences. So you can have a dignitary who's very significant. He may be a member of Congress, but he can't get entry into this press conference. They just won't let him in. There's a very limited number of people they allow into the room with the president. And it's strange, because certainly this dignitary, this member of Congress, is much more chashuv, he has much more status in the United States government than somebody writes articles, you know, for the Washington Post. But yet, the first guy, who's a member of Congress, he won't get the clearance, you know, he doesn't have the credentials, that ID card that says I'm a member of the press, and permit him to enter into this press conference. Dafka, who goes into the press conference? Some sort of itonai, some sort of a writer for a newspaper who's by far less significant in terms of American politics than the first Joe, who's a member of the Knesset. He's a member of the Congress. But the answer is that the person who has this ongoing relationship with the president, he's always in that inner circle where they ask questions, they clarify, the president explains at these press conferences, he gets that ID card. He's called an Eved in the sense that relative to the dignitary who's a member of the government, who's a sar, he certainly, this guy from the press, is only an Eved, but yet he gets entry and the other doesn't. It's paradoxical. The answer is because, as Rashi puts it here in the Gemara, let's go over the Rashi. Rashi says in Brachos that the Eved is a ben bayis, nichnas v'yotze, shalom b'rishus. That's the status of this press guy. He's a ben bayis by the president. The president almost knows him on a first name basis. He probably does. And he calls him by name and he asks him, you know, questions and he gets answers back and forth, a lively discussion. Nichnas v'yotze, shalom b'rishus. He's got that card that allows him on a regular basis to come close to the president, enter into this very limited press conference, very intimate, and ask his questions. So let's go back to the Maskil of David and see what the Maskil of David wants to derive from this Gemara. Who in effect is greater as far as the Chashivas of Tefillah? Whose Chus is greater? A Tzadik ben Tzadik or a Tzadik ben Rasha? Do you remember? Whose Chus is greater? Whose Chashivas is superior?
A Tzadik ben Rasha.
Tzadik ben Rasha, correct? And yet what is his status? Even though he has the greater Chashivas that makes him what? A sar, nevertheless, the tzaddik ben tzaddik, although he's inferior, he doesn't have those chuyot because he was brought up in a religious home. You know, there's nothing, you know, none that we didn't expect him to be anything other than a tzaddik. That's exactly what's predictable. Yet, despite his inferior status, his tefillah is less chashuva. He's only an eved in terms of tefillah, but the tefillah of the eved will be accepted. Because the Tzadik ben Tzadik is Karov, he's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's read it inside. He says the following. He says, Hachi Nami, it's about five lines before the end of the paragraph, Hachi Nami, HaTzadik ben Rasha, he invented this abbreviation, you see, Tzadik bet Reish, HaTzadik ben Rasha, who dome kisar lifnei HaMelech. He's superior because he comes from, he's a product of Avera. If he's a product of an Avera environment, then yet he's a tzaddik, that gives him a great status. He's got chshivus, he's got zchuyot gedolot, he is equivalent to a sar. Umiu, however, afilu hachi, despite that fact, eino karav lemelech. Somehow the one who gets to be always within the close proximity of the king, and it started already with his father, it goes back generations, is the Tzadik ben Tzadik. V'eino rogil etzlo, the Tzadik ben Rosh is not rogil. He's like the case of a sar who's not rogil etzal melech. L'kach eino korov, shiyamale she'elato miyad. He, the Tzadik ben Rosh, despite his chshivus, his superior status and his chuyot, even though he's a sar, his tefillos are not answered immediately because he's got to break through all sorts of barriers in order to get in to see the king. He's a tzaddik ben Rasha. What did he inherit from his father that would give him rights to come close to the king? Nothing. Nothing positive, for sure. Maybe something negative. Aval hatzadi ben tzadi, right? Who? He's the one who's domali eved because he's inferior, he lacks that chashivas, but who karov tfei, nevertheless he comes closer to the Ribbono Shel'olam. Shekedushaso keduma, he has an early kedusha that dates back mitzad avosav to his father, varehu keben bayis. Therefore, as a result of the fact that he's an eved, who's a ben bayis, who's rogil, his tefillah will be accepted first. So if we take the maskil of David, then once again, we come to the conclusion, full circle, that we have to give first dibs to the tzaddik ben tzaddik, but not again because his tefillah is more chashuv. No. We don't have to apologize the way the Ohev Yisrael did to Rivka and say, well, Rashi added those few extra words to tell you that don't disqualify Rivka's tefillah. On the contrary, Rivka's tefillah has a greater chashivus. We've seen this in the Keren LeDavid. Now we see it in the Maskil LeDavid. David wins the day today. And we saw it also in Rabbi Akiva, except the Rabbi Akiva's case was a little different, as we said in the Torah Tumim, because of the fact that he was a Mavir al Midosov. So we're doing the Avnei Nezer now, because we wanted to finish this discussion about who to choose as a Shliach Tzibur with one last question. You have two candidates for the job of being a Shliach Tzibur. does a good voice play a role? Is that a factor? What if one of the two has a better voice? He's a better chazan, like we have in our shul here. You know, we always have a better chazan, a better shliach tzibur. He's a bal tefillah. He has a good voice. He's ne'im kol. Yesh lo ne'imut kol. Is that a factor at all? And that's what I want to discuss with you in the light of this Avnei Nezer. I'll say a few words about the Avnei Nezer. He was the Sukkot of a Rebbe. He lived about 100 years ago. And B'dvar She'ela, which you'll see on, it's, I think, the bottom of your page 1 in the Marim Komos. B'dvar HaShe'ela She'esh Lem Balei Tfilos Shal Rosh Hashanah Shnayim B'nei Torah V'yiri Shamayim. So two candidates, both, each one respectively, is a Ben Torah and a Yiri Shamayim. You need to hire one for Shachris and one for Musaf. The Od Shnayim, but there are another two candidates, each one vying for the respective position. Also, B'nai Torah V'Yirei Shamayim, Kamosam. So if your criterion is Yirei Shamayim and Ben Torah, everyone's equal. However, V'yesh Lehem Kol Arev Yoser, the advantage of the second pair, we'll call them Levi and Yehuda, over Reuven and Shimon, is that Levi and Yehuda have a more pleasant voice. Each one. Chazonos. Ach. But on the other hand, you know, there's always a seesaw here. There's an advantage to Reuven and Shimon. What advantage do they have? That they're lacking a negative that Yehuda and Levi have. Levi and Yehuda have Ach Yeshan Pagam B'mishpachasam. Now what's a Pagam? Again, he doesn't say Ben Russia. He just says Pagam. What is the Pagam? So if you remember, earlier we discussed the possibility that a Pagam, Mishpacha, might be, you know, his brother went off to Derech. I don't know, there was a Ganav in the family. You know, it's not so clear, you know, it's not clear Yichus, not great Yichus in Shaduch. He says, what's the problem with Levi and Yehuda? Echad, one of them, Haya Aviv Shub, his father was a Shochet Ubodek, B'shnei Kfarim, and he serviced two different villages, U'shnei Rabbanim, and each one of the rabbis of these two villages, Heviruhu, they cancelled his status as a Shub, in other words, they disqualified him as a Shochet, Machmas Shalohutvu Sakinov Be'enehem. You know that the Rav is responsible. I once saw it when I was in Budapest. The Rav asks from time to time the Shochet to come in front of him before he shechts an animal, and he checks the sakin to make sure that there are no pegimos in the sakin. There are different ways and methods of doing so. But apparently these two Rabbanim, when they checked the sakinim of, let's call him Levi and Yehuda, they found that the sakinim were not really the sakinim you want to use for shechita. That there were problems. So they're heviruhu. They said, you two guys are out of here. Find yourself a different. V'holach l'kfar echod b'medinos Freisan, maybe in France, I don't know where this is. But in any event, these two shochtim were good buddies. So they packed out of the local kfarim where they were excluded, they were rejected, and they went to Freisan. V'shachatsham, and there they shechted. So it's a little bit tricky here because really, we don't know if these shochtim are doing a good job. Are they kosher shechita? Maybe they're not. I mean, they've been checked by the local rabbanim where they started in those kfarim, and they're found to be wanting. The sakinim were not glat, as we would say. So that's a bad name. That's kind of a pagam mishpacha. On Levi's part, because his father was one of these two guys who had to run away, and he starts shechting elsewhere. Vasheni, what's Yehuda's problem? Yeshlo ach me'av ve'em shehemir rachmana litzlan. He's got a brother who went off to Derech. So eze yikhu lebali tefilo shel yom noroim. Who should we appoint? Should we take Reuven and Shimon because they don't have a Pagam Mishpacha? Should we take Yehuda and Levi because, despite the fact that they are B'nai Torah and Yerushalayim no less than Reuven and Shimon, but they have the advantage of being called Arev, but the disadvantage, the drawback of Gam Mishpacho. This one, his father is a questionable Shochet, and the other one, his brother went off to Derech. V'nira Li, says the Sakat Shava, Sheyikhu Osam Shekolam Arev. Now, if you would have asked me, you know, to cover the answer of the Nezer and guess what he's going to say, I would have thought, let's leave out these guys with the Pagam Shpacha. Let them fly the kite. I mean, all right, so they have a better voice, but who cares? He says, Dafka, to appoint those who have a better voice. Why? The Af, even though Devadei Tfilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik Nishmas Yoser, the fact that Levi's father went over to Freisen and there he started shechting, yesh lilmod zchus olav. We don't have to necessarily assume he's a Rasha. Why should you do so? He has a cheskes kashrus. He's innocent until proven guilty. Why? Ki yadua inyan hashchazas asakina mishuna mimedina achas michaverta. What, you know, there are different customs in different areas as far as which sakin, which knife is acceptable. Asakina sher b'vinis lita shemishtam shemem, those that, for example, in Lithuania they use. Anachnu, we hear, says the Sakat Shavar, in his part of the world, in Poland, lo hayinu machshirin osam lechatchilu. Lechatchilu, we would never accept those sakina. U'vinis freisin shamati gam kein sheshochtim sakinim oven. They use very thick knives, which would definitely not be acceptable, not even lita. The Efshesh of Freisen, Hoya Sakino Tov, by standards of Freisen, perhaps he used the right knife. And even though we wouldn't accept it, but they accepted it there. Umilsa Dilididan Havimuma, that which we would exclude here, locally, let's say in Sokachov, Lididhu, over there in Freisen, according to them in Hug, Lohoya Muma, that wouldn't have been in any way disqualified. Vein Lahachik is Benobishvil, and therefore there's no real Pgam Mishpacha in Levi, insofar as his father perhaps was implementing a Shechita which is acceptable in the place where it is. Vasheni. What about Yehuda? Sheyesh lo ach, who went off the Derech, he was Meimir. Hine af sharamim kosev l'gabi tainios shalo yia bekrovav balaver b'chol anil v'melev v'adei kamenosu b'elu asher hoye yochalo chicham ulachzirim b'tshuva. Why does the Rambam exclude someone whose relative is a balaver? Because he could have had an influence on him, and he didn't. But in our case, ein l'archiko b'shvil echov, b'shvil achiv. And he makes a kal v'chomer. He says, afilu mida tova hamaruba, ein tzchus rak mi'av l'bino. We only transfer the status of the father and his chuyot to the son, but loli echov, even in God's dealings with Tova, as a Baal Chesed, as a compassionate God, he doesn't give zchuyot to one brother because of the other brother. Moshe Kosov Maral, Begur Aryeh, Bracious Yutes, Posukhov Tes. Interesting to note that the Avni Nezer, the Sakat Shavar, knew the Gur Aryeh ala Torah. That's fascinating. Vizel Lashonu, here's the Lashon of the Gur Aryeh. He says, the Imishum Krovov, Lo Matsinu Bemidas Hashem Yisrach Rakshin Zocher Chaz De Ovos Albino. Avol Lot Ben Achiv, Lo Shayach Boz Chira. Now, there's no special schus to Lot because he was related to Avram. He wasn't the son of Avram. Only a son gets chuyot from his father. The im, and this is the Sakat Shavar now, ein schus bishvil achiv. If the schus of one brother can't help for another brother because it's only avos al bino, aval bino, kol shekhen ha-mish more so, the ein chova bishvil achiv. Because mida tov is always greater than mida ra. So certainly a mida ra, you wouldn't hold it against one brother because his other brother went off to Derech. Again, the situation would be totally different if this brother was responsible for or could have stopped his other brother from going off to Derech. Al kein nirali she'im b'tora u'b'yira shamayim shkulim, since these two sets of candidates for shliach tziv for Hashanah are equal as far as yira shamayim is concerned, as far as Torah is concerned, and there's no pshia over here in Hamoras Ha'achiv, and he meaning Levi, was not negligent or maybe it was Yehuda, who wasn't negligent in the fact that his brother went off to Derech, is Yekablu Hashniyim, we should accept the second set. And why the second set? Why Levi and Yehuda? Shekolam Arev. Because their voice is more beautiful. V'sholom al Yisrael. And leave it at that. And that's how the Avi Yezus signs off the tshuva. He says, Shalom al Yisrael, there shouldn't be any machlokas here. And we're going to take, since all things are equal here, there's no pekam mishpacha, we're going to take and appoint those who have the advantage of kolam orev. By the way, I just want to add one footnote here. It comes out that according to the Avnei Nezer, if there would have been a pekam mishpacha, then that factor would have overrided the advantage of kolam orev. So if, for example, the father was a shochet who was being makel nevelus and treifus through his posel shchita. In other words, there was no way of justifying his sakin, despite the fact that heviru he continued to shecht illegally, and he was being makel treifus. Then, despite the fact that his son has a great voice, we would rather prefer the other candidate, whose father is not a rasha, who has no pgam avera, and likewise, if Yehuda in this case would be responsible in some way, in some shape or form, for the fact that his brother went off to Derech, he could have prevented that, then despite the fact that Yehuda, the Frum brother, has a beautiful voice, we'd have preferred either Reuven or Shimon over him because of the fact that they don't have that pagam in the Mishpacha. Okay, then we'll stop here.